Adrian Peterson, what a tough deal for everybody around that situation. And yesterday the deal is made. What does it mean? What's the fallout? And what does it mean about getting back to the Vikings as well? Ray Giudice joins us, and he's the man. He's our own little Ray Donovan. He's one of the premier trial lawyers in the city. RayGiudiceLaw.com. I'll tell you about it. Reach him on his cell phone as well. Mr. Ray, Ray, how are you, sir?
Good morning, folks. How are you?
We're doing good. So tell everybody what it means, what he pled yesterday, and how that thing plays out.
Well, this case was reduced from the initial felony charge down to a misdemeanor. They kind of call it a reckless conduct, reckless endangerment charge. A misdemeanor, maximum 12 months probation. He paid a fine. He's going to do some community service, probably take a little counseling. And he was able to enter what's called a nolo plea. In Latin, nolo contendere means I don't contest the charges. It means, judge, I'm not denying it. I'm not accepting guilt, but it's not a guilty plea, but it is a conviction. So the case is not closed. He'll have to resolve his conditions of probation, which I'm sure he'll do in a short period of time, but probably about how it should have resolved.
Par for the course for a first-time offender like this?
Yeah, pretty much par. You know, I mean, we've got a federal judge from the state of Alabama who 2 months ago came to Atlanta with his wife and beat her up at the Ritz-Carlton. And he is in the Fulton County Diversion, Domestic Violence Diversion Program, just like everybody else. And he still has his job on the federal court, getting federal benefits. And, you know, we can make the segue to Mr. Peterson or Ray Rice, who don't quite fit in judgment of people in federal court. They just toe the football. So, you know, the fact that we have to overdo it on these people, these players, just because they're in the limelight.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, he's a middle-aged white guy, federal judge, who's getting diversion program, and he did beat his wife up badly. The photos are online.
Ray, what would have happened if this went to trial in terms of the sordid details of his son and what was he exposed to?
Well, you know, this for lawyers, this actually is kind of fascinating because this is really where a jury would have sat as the conscience of that community as to what is the acceptable standard of corporal punishment. Of course, you all have had lots of callers in who talked about how they were raised and how they raise their children nowadays, how different that is. So it would have been fascinating. I think the prosecutor weighed that, maybe talked to some people in the community about what's acceptable and what's not, made an offer, and I think Mr. Peterson was well counseled to not have to relive that personally. But you know what else? There's somebody else involved here, and it's a child. And, you know, when you have a trial and there's a public record and a verdict, you know, that child's only 4 or 5 now, but one day that young man's going to be 14 or 15, and you can read about everything online. So I think I would have counseled my client, if I was his lawyer, to say, you know what, let's close this chapter, let's heal, and let's move on multiple levels, just not your career. How about your career as a dad going forward?
Ray Giudice joining us here. He is our favorite legal fella. As 680 The Fan, the best way to reach him is to get his app, Ray Giudice. It's a little maroon one, and Ray, I always recommend it to everybody. It's got the Safe Ride, it's got the Uber, it's got you. You can just call you right up right there on that app.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to the head of the Atlanta DUI Task Force, and he said that their caseload is actually down, and he believes it's because of things like Uber, Safe Ride, and I've had that on my app for 2 years. So we're trying to provide, hey, look, don't get one if you can avoid one.
Right on.
Right.
All right, so Jameis Winston learns that the student conduct code hearing will take place the week of November 17th. But coming out in all this back and forth with the attorneys, Ray, they've released the name of the victim.
Well, it doesn't violate any laws because the victim is over the age of majority. Yes, of course, if she filed a lawsuit, her name would be in the lawsuit, and that would be public record. Now, do I think that this is, you know, it's not unethical, but it's certainly hardball.
It's not nice.
Now, to Winston and his counsel's position, their argument is, hey, wait a second. My client has had these allegations hanging over his head for over a year, you know, New York Times stories, the media's all over it. How about our day in court? Let's get either charge us so we can defend ourselves, sue us so we can defend ourselves, or let's get in front of this hearing. And I think they're firing a salvo back that says, come on, we're ready for it. Let's do it. So I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's what I read into it.
He has yet to answer any questions, any, I want to say under oath or any sort of interview that's made public. Does he have to do that before the student code hearing?
He does not, and if I was his lawyer, I would have the roll of duct tape ready so that he does not say anything that could be used against him. There are bigger problems than this FSU school hearing. And think about the timing of this. It's scheduled to start on the 17th of November. The students go on break for Thanksgiving the next week. They come back for final exams. They then go away for a month. What happens during that period of time? Well, that's right. They finish the season, play in the championship game, and he announces he's ready for the NFL draft before the decision comes down. So, I mean, I just think that it's been choreographed so that he's gone from SSU by the time any final decision. He doesn't testify against himself to create any other problems.
So I wonder what happens at that student code meeting. He has to show up and not, he can say, I'm pleading the fifth?
He does not have to test. This is not a criminal hearing. He's not under subpoena. He can appear or not appear. He can testify. Now, interestingly, and I looked at those rules, he can't have a lawyer make a presentation on his behalf. So essentially, he can appear, stay mute and not say anything, which would be my advice, or make his own presentation. And look, I'm not going to pick on this young man, whether he's a brilliant orator or not, but there is no 19-year-old young person that I want as a lawyer defending themselves in front of a panel where you've got an ex-federal court judge is leading it. That's just not going to work out well.
Mm. You hear how bright he is. He can be working on your behalf as well. Ray Giudice, 404-964-4185, 404-964-4185, or see him on Atlanta Eats at St. Cecilia with a very, very impressive dissertation on the art of dining in Buckhead. That was your finest work. You know that, Ray.
It was 5 seconds worth, too. It was huge. That's more
airtime than Finneran gets some morning. So, all right, buddy. Thanks. Ray Giudice with us.